The Digivolution!
Is that Ben Renning?
Did you see?
Did you hear?
Did you know it was coming?
Our Digidestiny
starts today.
Let me hear you say...
Digimon!
Woo! Even I felt nerdy after that.
Welcome to Podmon Adventure, the podcast where I'm just going to sit here and stare at the flowers until everyone starts getting along.
Good strategy.
Yeah, I'm sure that'll work. Today, we are watching Digimon Adventure Episode 46... Edamon's comeback tour. And by we, of course, I mean Nolan, as always, and myself, as mostly always. And Dandy will probably join us. You'll probably hear word from him or a squeak or something every now and then. But
I'm sure he'll weigh in.
Yeah, he has a lot of opinions about Edamon. So, how are you doing? Sound tired?
Oh man, yeah. I've been just exercising a lot recently, and sort of compensated for the dearth of self-loathing and suffering by just eating trash, just garbage.
Oh, you went to Burger King?
No, actually, I've been to two different fast food organizations today, just to fill my quota of hatred that I mentioned. Yeah, started the day off strong with some Dunkin' Donuts, just managed to not shit myself all day, and then eventually got some Just Hamburgs on the way home from work, so. Yeah.
Good shit, not a sponsor.
Yeah.
But.
So, you know, if there's any kind of turmoil that I experience, know that it is born from my suffering guts. What about you, man?
I'm doing okay. Had a pretty lax day at work because it looked like it was going to rain all day, so I had to wait to see what that did. It turned out to be bunk, but...
Oh, it rained here.
Oh, did it?
Yep.
We got a little bit, but not as much as we were hoping to, but maybe some more later. And then worked on my guitar a little bit, got new pedal in, and did all that stuff, which... I won't bore you guys with that, although it would be nice to do a music podcast sometime. But that's beside the point. If you guys would like to hear us talk about our bands and other bands and nerd out about music stuff, then, I don't know, email us at dearpodmon@gmail.com or indiecarnival@gmail.com, or if you're somewhere that has comments, leave one, but we'll probably never see it, but, you know, whatever. But yeah, that's mostly been my day is doing not too much. So Edamon's comeback tour. I mean, obviously we know what we're expecting, but what do you think that's going to entail?
Well, I think he's going to, rejoin the performance circuit with a really invigorated sort of live setup. Wherein he's going to tour a bunch of new singles and, get some of the hits in there as well.
Yeah, of course.
Very newly distinct, I would say, stage presence and costume work, I think, would be the main thing that we're going to see. Return of the... of Edamon to the stage.
Do you think that Edamon's comeback tour precedes a comeback album, or do you think the album, or at least a single? Do you think that he's just like banking on this on his like past success, or do you think that he's got new material that he's pushing and trying to redefine himself?
Oh, I think that there's got to be some new material, right? He's got to have something new going on.
Yeah, maybe.
Not much of a comeback. It would be more of a reunion tour. If it
right.
Were, or the other thing. I think he's also probably going to benefit from, an improvement in, the recording technology, and he's going to be able to have a lot more sort of live performances, incorporated in the whole mix.
How do you think that Edamon's... fan base is going to react? I think they're going to be accepting, and or even possibly that this new record or single or whatever he's putting out is going to be, you know, in the upper echelon, or do you think that people are just going to go for the old hits?
Well, anytime that they're an artist really shifts into a new gear, there's going to be some people who are just shook off the wagon, you know?
Of course.
But I think for the most part, he's going to retain his diehard fans while also reinstituting a presence with the youth, perhaps less based on a sort of a groundswell of grassroots sort of sexual sort of bravado. Instead, it's going to be more more about the spectacle of the whole thing. It's going to be a sort of a call to arms for all live music lovers.
Oh, interesting. Well, I'm looking forward to it, and I got my tickets. So
I think he's also going to take off the monkey suit and show brain.
Oh, okay.
A la The Doors.
I loved it when Jim Doris
took
off his monkey suit.
Yeah. Oh man, what a moment.
Well,
Have you
got my tickets.
By the way, have you come back and watched the Oliver Stone The Doors in a long time?
Not a long time, no.
So, when I watched it as a kid, I was still of the opinion that The Doors weren't terrible. And yeah. They've got some good, you know, facets to their general. I think it's pretty much just pretentious nonsense over those licks. Anyway, I think the film is actually from a place of criticism on The Doors.
Okay.
I think that it is showing the sort of like it's a hagiography, but it's one that is done like tongue in cheek with the like showing how like bold-faced, ridiculous all of these perceptions of Jim Morrison as some kind of like vanguard of intellectualism is inherently stupid, especially the way it ends. Like,
I it's been a long time. I don't remember. But do you think that, like, knowing Oliver Stone and his like the America died with JFK kind of politics? Do you think that was like artistic intention, or do you think that he was sincere, but just an even semi-honest depiction of them would lend itself to that cynical outlook?
I think that he was drinking the Kool-Aid so much as the sort of in a directorial position,
right,
that the sort of craft around the rest of the movie has no choice but to elucidate how ridiculous it is to take these things that, like, prima facie, like, as the absolute truth.
Right.
You know? And Jim Morrison, just as a guy, how does anybody stand? How could you ever, like, hold a conversation with that guy and not want to, like, brain him? You know? Fucking, like, they show him at film school at the beginning, and they're, like, just talking about, like, basic shit, and they're, like, openly laughing at him in his film class for his, like, weird, pretentious poetry films. And they're, like, giving criticism that's, like, pretty well-earned, I would say. They're, like, what is the subtext of this? What are you actually trying to elucidate? Like, what is the, like, Kuleshov effect you're trying to get with these, these interplay of these edits? And he just, like, sort of looks up at him. He's, like, I quit. Yeah. We're, like, okay, yeah, you're too big for film school. Cool. Got it.
Okay, I'm going to put this out there, and hopefully it doesn't require a lot of explanation. Because you may have to, like, squint a little bit to see it, but I'm going to submit that The Doors are the Red Hot Chili Peppers of the 60s.
Oh, fuck, yes. Yeah, really good, like, backing band.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fuck.
Although, I don't think that Kiedis is as pretentious as Jim Morrison, but still just bullshit nonsense lyrics, not a good singer, but a great band. Fronted by just a complete dork who has no business fronting a band.
Kiedis, I would much rather hang out with.
Oh, 100. Yeah. Interpersonally, 100% would rather hang out with Kiedis.
And I think that kind of sells it to me for Kiedis.
Yeah.
Like, because I don't think he thinks that when he, you know, does the ding dong dong ding ding dong, I don't think he thinks that he's doing high art. Right. And that kind of validates it for me. It's just like, yeah, you are the front man of a like a funk rock band.
Yeah.
Do whatever you fucking want, man. As long as you're keep those abs tight and get on your fucking your off hat and get out there. But with the Doors, it's like there's no need. Like you try to plant your feet in any kind of appreciation of Jim Morrison, and you just like sink into the quicksand of his fucking enormous ego.
But the 60s are inherently more pretentious than any. Like succeeding decade, especially the 90s.
I was going to say the 90s kind of get up there too, but their thing is more like, you know, history's done. We finally see past the veil, man. And like, it's.
Right. Yeah. It's that Gen X, like postmodern pretentiousness, whereas like the 60s are like, I've done better acid than you, so I know what's going on in the world.
Yeah, for sure.
But, I guess we pissed off enough people. So let's get to it right after we check with this week's sponsor. And this episode is brought to us in part by the Not a Face Fest put on by Beware the Poster Kids. So not technically not a sponsor. They're not, like, paying for the episode like most of our sponsors do. But that is, if my calculations are correct, that is this weekend. Let me check my calendar.
Oh, shit, for real.
Yeah. That is how far ahead we are recording right now. To give you guys a little bit of like of context, we just saw Across the Spider-Verse last night.
Oh, fuck, and that was really good.
That was really, really good. This Saturday out at Calvert City, if you are in the area, come hang out, watch Nolan's band, Be Good Elliot, and my band, Please Stand By, along with some other great local bands and some great food and everything.
There's a car show as well, if that means something to you.
Yeah, there's a car show. So it's going to be a lot of fun. And I'm going to try, if we can, to film at least Be Good in PSB sets. So hopefully those within a week or so will be up on the Indie Carnival or the Bone Farm channels for you guys to watch if you're not able to make it out. But if you are, then come hang out. It'll be a lot of fun. And maybe Edamon will show up. Let's see what he's got. Let's see if he's got what it takes to roll with the big dogs. All right, let's hit the cue. All right, and we're back.
Mm-hmm.
So, how do you feel about the show? Was it as
Edmond's reunion?
Yeah.
His songwriting has definitely improved over the break.
That's what I thought. I always always thought he was a little overhyped, but I can get into this new this new age of Edmond.
Yeah, absolutely.
This harder, I don't know if I'd call it metal, but it's definitely it's definitely got a harder edge to it.
Shinier, newer.
Yeah.
Cleaner.
So we open with an old friend, or, you know, whatever you want to call him.
Old
Ogremon being chased by a bunch of Woodmon.
Woodmon, the most uninspired Digimon we have seen yet.
Yeah.
It's literally just trees that move.
Yeah.
They pretend to be trees.
Yeah, at least the last talking tree didn't move and had a mustache.
Yeah, and, you know, had, like, something to do in the plot other than just chase somebody. It could have been anything. It could have been, like, a swarm of geese. The geese swarm.
Yes, swarm of geese-mon. Meanwhile,
A gaggle of geese.
Gaggle-mon.
Gaggle-mon.
Meanwhile, Mimi is feeling guilty about being a coward, but Joe reassures her by telling her that he comes from a long line of cowards.
Hey, yeah, that's what he does best.
As they're discussing Joe's eating habits, they spot what looks like a meteor and that crashes on Ogremon. Back with Tai's gang, Tentomon spots the meteor. Tai wants to go check it out, but the others want to go to Puppetmon's mansion, except for Sora. But Tai reassures her that he can't try to get into her pants in a couple years if she's dead, so he's not going to let anything happen to her.
Yep. Yeah, they take a vote, and then they still defer to Tai's judgment.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is, you know, pretty accurate, but
right.
Still not the most... make the most sense there.
So, yeah, they're going to go check out Puppetmon's mansion. Meanwhile, Joe and Mimi spot the injured Ogremon. Joe wants to ignore him because of all the trouble he caused them.
All the attempted murders and
all the all the attempted murders and such. But Mimi says, fuck that. You're not getting any if you don't help him. So they do. And Joe shows some utility in knowing first aid, which is probably more than I could say for pretty much anyone else in the group. They would all be dead if they got a tiny cut. Mimi calls Ogremon a friend, and it fucking breaks him. And
yep.
So now
killing him with kindness.
Yep. That's Mimi for you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, Puppetmon is here.
Yeah.
You know, you can always... Okay, so, of course, we're about to have a fight. Even though just a couple of days ago, 7 Ultimates fought Puppetmon and got their shit kicked in. So, you know, 1 with a hammer. I'm sure that's going to work.
Yeah.
But...
Yeah, that was a little bit of a waste. We just see, what's the big,
Zudomon.
Zudomon.
Yeah.
Zudomon just gets wasted. He gets out-hammered.
Yeah, and it's funny because, like, you can tell when they're padding the episode because they'll do the, like, preview display on the champion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they'll do like the whole pixel thing. It shows like, okay, this already is like taking up a minute of the episode. We need like 30 more seconds on it. So yeah, we get in less time than it takes him to digivolve twice. He gets his shit knocked out in like 1 hit and goes down for the count. But just then, our hero is here. Well, not really. Just another problem that's also a problem for Puppetmon.
Yeah.
That's right.
Descending in a baptism of fire,
his
Edamon has been reborn. He has been in the abyss since his fight with the Metal Greymon, and now he has returned. He has risen indeed. To sing a new song, and he has a weird backup band of Edamons while he's singing his sort of introduction tune.
Very Return of Cooler's Revenge vibes of his origin in this new form.
Yeah,
like, I was dead, and then the big Getty Star put me back together, honey.
Yeah. Mama.
But yeah, it's thrash metal Edamon.
Yes.
And as I said before, his new songs are actually better than the classics.
They actually seem to make sense. They don't just seem like they just as an example, put a voice actor in a booth and sort of said, huff this and give me an impression of what you think Elvis would say at this moment.
So, yeah, he fights Puppetmon.
For the right to kill the Digidestined, I guess?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I guess the bads are all territorial. It seems like even the Dark Masters have a very, like, tempestuous alliance with each other. So, you know, he's on their turf, or on Puppetmon's turf anyway. Rock paper scissors, wood versus metal. Yeah, I guess metal would win that fight.
Yeah. The third would be, well, hang on. Yeah.
I was thinking water.
Water rests metal. Metal beats wood. Wood absorbs water, I guess.
Okay. Yeah. That works.
Sure.
Yeah. Back with Ty's group, they arrive at Puppetmon's mansion, but there are guards outside. Ty volunteers to go check it out, but the others convince him it's better if they go together. So Tentomon and Agumon attack Florimon and Daramon, but they actually don't give a fuck about Puppetmon, so yeah. They give the kids a tour of the mansion.
Which, yeah, Agumon just ignites Daramon. Daramon's just fine.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, if you remember when they found out that, they should have known by then, but when it was finally, like, spelled out to them in clear language that Kari was the eighth child and that Gatomon was her partner, Agumon's first move on Ty and Kari's balcony was to fire at Kari. Yeah. So Agumon is definitely a
ask questions later.
Yeah, definitely.
Yep.
I've seen it so many times that it didn't even faze me, but there was a line as Daramon's giving them the tour that threw you for a loop.
Yeah. Offhandedly, they mentioned that the mansion was built before the digital revolution.
Yeah.
Like, is there like a Digimon equivalent of the Romanovs that got dethroned?
Okay, that's interesting. I figured like the French Revolution would have been the analogy that I would have assumed.
It could be anything. It could have been like, you know, any revolt, really. Yeah. I mean, yeah. If it is more parallel to the French Revolution, who is the equivalent of Marie Antoinette, who gets decapitated in that sort of conflict?
Well, it's
what was the power structure in the digital world before, like, Devimon showed up?
You know? Right, like, because it seems like there's a like evil absolutism,
yeah,
at the political social structure of the digital world.
Yeah, like, there's the, which Ogremon's actions in this episode seem to completely, well, I guess, yeah, politically it would be, yeah. It's weird. I feel like you pull any thread in the digital world like too hard and the whole thing just sort of unspools or becomes a giant spiral in the center of it.
I'm also curious now, though, of like what type of revolution are we talking here? Are we talking like political, or was it a full on social revolution, or even a
coup?
Yeah, or even like a counter-revolution. There is a perspective that, like, the American Revolution is really a counter-revolution against the English Revolution and the what the fucking line of demarcation of the Seven Years' War, where the English and French were like, okay, you can't expand any further west beyond this line. And I wonder, like, if absolute autocracy is the political structure of the digital world that we see, whoever is the most powerful and evil is the automatic divine ruler of the digital world. What social structure did that replace? Like, what preceded that?
I mean, obviously, it's
like was there a digital constitution?
Yeah, it's liberalism. That's what always it's what always replaces liberalism is evil autocracy.
Too many questions.
Too many.
Back with Joe and Mimi. They're hiding one, I guess, is a tree, it seems, or something like that. Haven't hidden a tree in a long time. With Ogremon and getting to know him a little bit better. Learning about his code of honor, his rivalry with Leomon, his blood pressure, yeah. And all of that. When
Ogremon basically reveals that he has no, like, ideology that's supporting his war against Leomon specifically.
Yeah,
it's just it is as it is. It has always been
right.
Like, he sees Leomon as like the other side of his coin, and that like he is defined by his conflict with Leomon, which again raises a bunch of questions. Like, how did Ogremon exist before Leomon? Was he created? He says he was created explicitly with the purpose of killing Leomon.
Right.
Was he created by Devimon? Can you just make Digimon?
I feel like if Devimon could make Digimon, that would be much more efficient, especially if he can make them like as strong as Ogremon, who at least in his time was a competent threat. I feel like that's way more efficient than
the gears
and turning good Digimon bad. That could easily, even like really strong Digimon like Andromon, that can easily be turned back good just by shooting them in the leg and
shoot them in the gears.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't think so, but and it also raises the question of like if whatever like Digimon digivolves to Ogremon. Are they and the rookie equivalent of Leomon rivals, or is it like as soon as one of them, as soon as a random Digimon that happens to digivolve to Leomon or Ogremon does, do they have to like the first like other one that they see like you're my rival now?
Yeah,
like
it's mutually assured destruction.
Yeah.
You know what it actually is that they are in love with one another, and the only way that they can be together forever is by creating this eternal conflict.
Yeah,
in which they are, you know, they're caught in battle.
and I think Leomon has the self awareness and the self honesty.
You're right. He would just admit it.
But Ogremon, because of his
lack of friendship,
and I was gonna say his fundamentalist upbringing.
Yeah,
can't admit that to himself. Right.
He literally had the threat of the devil hanging over him.
Yeah.
Throughout his upbringing.
You can't love Leomon. That would be gay. No, I don't want to be gay.
What does that even mean in the digital world?
Right?
Does anybody have a gender? Fuck.
I mean,
some of the Digimon are coded as
as
masculine or feminine, but those like it doesn't have any real meaning in the digital world.
So I would say that Digimon have gender more than I would say they have sex.
They explicitly do not have sexual.
Because
they don't reproduce sexually.
Right.
They reproduce by, I guess, budding, just the eggs, the spawning of eggs.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't take two Digimon to make a. They're not. It's explicitly not sexual reproduction.
Right.
So the only way that there would be any kind of delineation would be along gender lines, but they do use, I guess they do use gender terms, like they refer to them as like he and she and stuff like that, right?
Right.
Yeah. And they have names like Angel Woman.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which, why does she have tits? The world may never know. Oh, because she's created by the internet.
Right. Yeah.
I feel like the code would just get confused and she would be a futa. That's the mega evolution.
No, okay. We'll get to that when we get to the movie, but Gatomon's line is as confusing as it is glorious. But Puppetmon returns to the mansion, and after everybody fucks around and blows some shit up and gets into all kinds of mayhem.
Everybody just hates Puppetmon.
Yeah.
And nobody has taken the time to explain to him why. I guess because he is so powerful.
Yeah.
It's kind of the problem with that in general. In some ways, having power completely removes certain aspects of your humanity because you're no longer a candidate for open criticism if you can just, like, melt people, you know? So if you get a big gun hammer, nobody's going to talk to you, give you honest criticism.
Yeah, I mean, I am far from me to be the one to, like, empathize with the bourgeoisie or the puppet bourgeoisie in this case. But it is true.
The tea puppet bourgeoisie.
Yeah. But it is true that in their own way, the elites, as you might call them, the elite four, the dark masters of the world, are as...
The NWO.
Are as isolated and atomized from themselves and from the world as the rest of us are. And Puppetmon is a good example of that. Because I wish the other... evils, at least on the surface, the other Antagomon relish in their separation and their position atop and therefore apart from the digital world. But Puffinmon has a spark in him that has enough Digimonity in him to at least want.
Yeah, desires friendship.
Desires friendship and desires companionship, but just doesn't know how to get it because he grew up in an old mansion, and is a wooden boy.
Hmm. Yep.
But yeah, and Daramon needs very little persuasion to attack his old boss.
Yeah, he's like, oh, shit, I get to use the gun on him? Awesome.
and then, as Metal Edamon hunts the Digidestined, a mysterious Digimon appears.
Looking very lion-like, yes. Lion-esque.
Yeah, very, very lion-o. Who could it be?
I assume it's Leomon's evolution, but I have no idea.
Hmm. Why? Because the announcer at the end pretty much just gave it away.
I mean, he's a lion.
Right.
You know?
And Ogremon got a boner when he saw him, so.
It's also like, it kind of mirrors the, fuck, what's his name?
Edamon?
No.
Shit.
Matt's.
Gururumon,
yeah. It kind of mirrors his path of evolution, mm-hmm. where he goes from animal thing to bigger animal thing to
right.
to person, the animal thing to other person or to other animal thing. Like, there's no, it's possible that it could be Leomon. Is all I'm saying.
Mm. Okay, I'd like to think so. I'd like to know the answer.
Tune in next week.
Yeah. And that is, because that's this week's episode. But
yeah.
Before you guys go, we've got some business to take care of.
Mm-hmm.
Metal Edamon didn't die.
Nah, yeah.
So we'll hold off on him till next week.
Does Woodmon count? Because bottom of the list.
I mean, Woodmon's the only one that possibly could count.
Yeah.
I think. I wouldn't. I wouldn't put Florimon and Daramon on there.
I wouldn't actually even call them Antagamon.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying. Okay, above or below Garbagemon?
Shit. Below Garbagemon. Or at least Garbagemon had the decency to look grotesque.
Yeah.
Woodmon is just... It's just a tree with a face in it. Like, it looks like set dressing for an elementary school reproduction of The Wizard of Oz.
any good quotes from this episode?
Hell yeah. This one had actually a lot of them. When Ogremon is dealing with the Woodmon at the beginning, he says this, which led me to believe that he had some kind of hemorrhage happening in his brain. How many Woodmon could an Ogremon chop if an Ogremon could chop Woodmon? Yeah, cool. When Joe is talking about what is and isn't healthy, he says, I've been not healthy my whole life. I'm used to it, which pretty relatable, Joe. At one point, when they're trying to discern the origin of the meteor containing metal Edamon, they're like, where's it from? And I think... seeing that it's made of garbage, Palmon says probably L.A., which how would she know? How would she know that? at one point, I think Palmon calls Edamon dirty, and he says that he's not dirty. He just got detailed at the dealership.
Yeah.
Which, sure. Gatomon kind of has her own, like, sort of witty rejoinder. This is worse than a litter box lined with flypaper. And that really gets Kari, and it's kind of a cute moment. We've, of course, got the offhand mention of the digital revolution, which just fucked my brain up. When they're interviewing Ogremon, he says, yes, it's true, I don't floss, without having been asked that. And when Daramon is being asked to shoot his master Puppetmon, he says that goes against all my principles. All right, I'll do it. Like, he barely even pauses in between those two those two thoughts. I think he was realizing as he said it that his principles meant nothing, and then he would much rather just shoot Puppetmon, which I can't fault him for.
No. Any Joe?
Joe was a little bit of a bitch at the beginning. I only say specifically because he was more afraid than Mimi to help Ogremon.
Yeah.
Even though Ogremon was clearly out of commission, he was covered in debris, which, you know, Ogremon was trying to murder them like every other time they've seen him.
Sure, but also, like, you barely had champions then, and now you've got fucking Hammer Doggo.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's not even a threat to you at this point.
Yeah.
So, and finally, this episode.
You know, damn, I'm tempted to say Ultimate.
What would dissuade you, and is it strong enough to knock it down?
This one feels really scattered. Like, I would say specifically all of the interactions that the group has separate from Joe and Mimi all feel like they're just repeating themselves until they get to the mansion.
Yeah.
Because they have, like, three conversations about whether or not they should go to the mansion.
I definitely think that...
I think that's a translation thing, probably. Like, maybe it wasn't as...
Possibly, but I do think, and I would still say Ultimate because the Joe and Mimi stuff was strong enough for it. But I do think that this episode would have been served by just not having Ty's group in it at all, or just like one scene with their group. To get them,
yeah.
Like if you have the scene where they see the meteor and decide to go to the mansion anyway, then I feel like a lot of the stuff could have been done next week and didn't have to. It's that weird, like, TV, like, act break thing where you, like, you feel like
you're
have
to reestablish what's going
and,
on.
Yeah, and you feel like you have to, like, you can't stay on one group for too long in an episode if, like, if the team is split up or if there's, like, an A and B plot. But you can and you could, but I would still say because Joe and Mimi were really strong and also because with Ty's group, once we get to the mansion, Daramon is a lot of fun. Yeah, I'll say ultimate too.
Rad.
So that is this episode. And we will be back next week with episode 47. Yeah. Ogremon's Honor.
Ooh.
Mm.
Yeah.
We'll see you then. Bye.